Good evening, church.
Good evening.
I'm doing something a little different tonight in that I have so much to cover. The verses I have all typed out, so if you're going to follow me and want to take notes, I'll give you the titles, and then you can write down the verses if you so want to go home and study a little further afterwards. The title of this sermon is, What Time Is It? And I just through life, you know, time is time and time is time. But I got to thinking about it. What is time in our Christian lives? We go through our daily lives, you know, it's time to eat, time to go to work, time to go to bed. It's time for the ball game to start. It's time for worship to start. I don't have a watch. What time is it? Basically, everything that we do is centered around time. So I got thinking about it. I think our Christian lives, we can say the same thing. So what I've done is I did a lot of research on this, and I came up with, and this is the reason I asked Sam to put me in the pulpit a little bit early. I've got 10 different subjects, and each one has probably four or five different verses with it. The verses basically all say the same thing. So what I want to do is I'm going to go into the different titles that I have. We'll read what the verses have to say, and then I'll summarize it and move to the next one. So that's the way I'm going to do this sermon tonight. It's a sermon. I've never done it this way. I've never just had the Bible verses typed out and just read them. I always went to the Bible and did it. So a little different for me. After about 50, 60 years of doing sermons, it's all totally different. So hang with me if I get lost somewhere. First one I want to look at in this, what time is it? And I think it's a good place to start. It's the importance of time. We often overlook, I think, in our lives how vital our time is. Now, the Bible teaches us that our days are numbered. It encourages us to make the best of every moment we have. And I think by reflecting on these verses about the importance of time, we need to prioritize what matters most. In our busy lives, it's easy to forget. To appreciate, you know, what the current moment is. It's easy to forget to appreciate the people around us. The verses I want to look at under this title remind us to focus on what God places in front of us today, and then maybe gather a further appreciation of the lives we actually have. So we look at Psalm 90, verse 12. It reads, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days. Ephesians 5, 15, 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Ecclesiastes 3, 1, I don't know if I was going to talk about time, I'd end up in Ecclesiastes somewhere. "To everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven." James 4:14 says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Colossians 4:5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." So with these verses and with this topic of you know, the importance of time, I think we can look at it. We need to appreciate the day that we have. Forget about yesterday, and we all need to look at tomorrow, but let's appreciate the day that we have today. We need to walk accordingly to God's word as we walk through that day. The second one is God's timing. We hear a lot of subjects on this. We've heard sermons and we've taught lessons on it. And to this day, at 78 years of life, I still don't understand God's timing. It's a timing that I can't put my head around. When the Bible tells me that 1,000 years is one day and one day is 1,000 years, it's hard for me to understand that. Understanding God's timing can sometimes be challenging. But as we look into the Bible, we find that everything happens in his perfect time. Not necessarily what we want, but in his perfect time. Our timing often clashes with God's timing. We want it done yesterday. Not 6 months from now, not 6 years, not 60 years. But that's his timing. It leads us to impatience. It leads us to anxiety. Sometimes it'll lead us into a position where we stop praying because we don't think we get answers. However, as we look at these verses on God's timing, we discover that God's plan unfolds at just the right moments. We may not fully see it. We may not understand it. But trusting that he knows what is best provides comfort for us. Key word there is trusting that he knows what he's doing. We can take solace in knowing that he has our best interests at heart. So go back to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. It reads, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Isaiah 40, verse 31 reads, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Romans 5:6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So this timing that God has, and I think it goes back to trusting in what we know about God, trusting in the his word, and trusting what is written to fully understand and appreciate God's timing. We have to understand God's time and our time is completely different. He does things different than we do. He has patience. He doesn't get anxious about things. He knows what he's doing. In our own lives, we pray to God, we talk to God, and we want answers immediately. And sometimes we get them. Sometimes we ignore the answer and think we never got answered. Sometimes it's not the answer we want. But if you deal with it down the road, you're going to figure out that it was the right answer. But we have to have that thing with God that we understand and we acknowledge that his timing is completely different than ours. We have to be careful that we don't become anxious or impatient with God, because he is going to do it his own way. Third one I want to look at is time to reflect. Timing to reflect allows us to realign ourselves with God's purposes. Take time to sit back. Just reflect on God's word. In our hectic lives, we can easily be swept up with everyday activities. And we forget to stop and just think about what's going on. However, finding minutes to pause and reflect is crucial. Through the verses on time to reflect, we see that reflection leads to understanding and wisdom. We strengthen our relationship with God as we spend time in prayer and as we spend time in meditation, allowing his word to speak to us, allowing his word to speak to our hearts, if you will. Reflection is vital. It helps us appreciate where we are in our faith. It also helps us to appreciate what God wants from us. If we don't meditate on those things, how do we come to those conclusions? I think it's in Philippians where Paul gives a whole list of things and says, meditate on these. There's a reason he said that and wrote that. We need the meditation. Psalms 119, verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Philippians 4:8. I knew I had this in here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If you don't have any idea what to meditate on, go to Philippians 4:8. Paul will tell you what to meditate on. And as you meditate on them, you will become closer with God. You'll get a closer understanding of what God is. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul tells Timothy, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. There's no way to do that if we don't go into meditation and really stop and do what we're supposed to do. We need to take time sometimes and just smell the roses. Sit back. Get out of the hectic life and take time. Meditate on the things that God wants done. The fourth one is a time for action. I was talking to Preston this morning after services, and this, yeah, it's action. We do this, we do that, it's all action. I said, that's part of my sermon, dude. Time for action. In our faith journey, there's moments that call for action. The Bible encourages us to be active in relationships and to be active in responsibilities, reminding us that faith without works is dead. Through these verses about time, we are called to seize the day. Use your time wisely for good deeds and for service and for helping others find Christ. Call to action. Teach. Preach. Help others. We can encourage each other to take steps that honor God and engage in our fellowship with others. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what we're created for, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's no wondering what we're supposed to do. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brethren, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Action. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Matthew 5:16, we all know this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Galatians 6:8, good instruction for us, because this happens sometimes. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. A powerful verse when you stop to think about action. And how many times do we get discouraged? I find myself discouraged at times. You know, I'm looking for the thank you or the attaboy or when I was working the bonus check and all these things. And you get discouraged. We get discouraged in our work with God. And we can go back to prayer. We can go back to look. Maybe that prayer we wanted and asked and just didn't get answered the way we wanted or didn't get answered at all yet. And we can become discouraged. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Maybe some of, you know, there's some that like to visit. We go to hospitals. We do this. We do that. And nobody ever says they appreciate it. Maybe we grow weary. Maybe we throw our hands up in the air and say, what's the point? Point is, God says, do it. And he said, don't let us grow weary for doing that good. And then he gives the reason. For due season, we'll reap if we don't lose heart. John 9:4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is the day. Now, the night is coming when no one can work. So in these verses, we need to embrace action. We need to live out our faith in a practical way, in a meaningful way. If we're not doing that, then we're going to get down the wrong path. Number five is seasons of life. There's a time for seasons of life. As we're aware, life is made up of different seasons, each one bringing its own challenges and each one bringing its own blessings. Ask us senior citizens. We have challenges, but for me to sit in this pulpit and bring a lesson tonight, that's a blessing. The Bible addresses these seasons. It reminds us to embrace each one and learn from them. And as we read through the verses about the time on seasons of life, we recognize that God is with us throughout every season of our lives. Whether it's joy, whether it's sorrow, or just plain waiting. Taking the time to appreciate these seasons helps us grow spiritually and helps us prepare for what lies ahead. Ecclesiastes 3:2, continuation from verse 1. A time to be born, seasons of life, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. Romans 12:12, it reads, rejoicing in hope, be patient in tribulation, continue steadfast in prayer. Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider things of old. The instruction here says, behold, I will do a new thing. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. Psalms 119:71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. We need to trust the process. We need to see how God works in each part of our life. And then take those parts and put them together so that our journey stays steadfast in what he wants us to do. Number six, time in prayer. What time is it? It's time for prayer. Prayer is an incredible way to interact with God. Most of us know that. I hope all of us know that. And time spent in prayer strengthens our connection with him. We get to know him better. We understand more. The Bible verses about time in prayer remind us to create a time for our prayer in our daily lives. Make it a habit. In the mornings, in the evenings. But set a special time out for you and God. Consistent communication with God allows us to do several things. One is to seek his guidance. One is to intercede for others. Another is so that we grow in our own faith. As we dedicate time to prayer, we find our experiences will deepen our understanding of his love and his grace. You can't do that if you don't talk to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. James 5:16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Make that time that you talk to God. We all pray all the time during the day, but make that special time. Set it aside just for you and God. Get the TV out of the room. Get the internet out of the room. All the kids, just go spend some special time with God. Whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 2 hours, but just set aside some special time. Make prayer a priority in your life. You'll see the impact. Number seven, there's a time for worship. We say, what time is it? It's time to worship. We open up class, it's time to start class. We start worship at 10:30, it's time for worship. Worship fills our lives with joy and gratitude. And it helps us to turn our hearts towards God. We have that special time during worship that we devote to God. There's a lot of Bible verses about time for worship. We find reminders of the importance of setting aside time for worship, whether in fellowship or alone. Worship allows us to focus on God's goodness and respond to Him in love. By making time for worship, again, we can deepen our relationship with God. Sometimes on Sunday mornings, I feel sorry for those that don't have God in their life. They don't have anything to do on Sunday except do what they call Sunday fun day. It's got to get old. I look forward to going to worship service. I look forward to seeing everyone. I look forward to be able to sit over there and remember Jesus and remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection and sing songs of praise. I enjoy all that. That's my Sunday fun day. Psalms 95 and verse 6 says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must do what? Worship in spirit and truth. We do that here. A lot of spirit in this congregation. And anybody that opens up the Bible in this auditorium is teaching truth. Psalms 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Be happy. Come before his presence with singing. We do that in worship service. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another. Colossians 3:16, real good instruction. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Worship service. Together, we can celebrate. We can praise God, not only in public places, but also in our own personal lives. Number eight, a time to serve. Back to action. Serving others is a vital part of our Christian walk. The Bible encourages us to utilize our time to serve those around us. And by doing that, we reflect God's love and God's grace. By looking at the Bible verses about time on this, we understand that service is an act of worship. We're called to give our time generously. We're called to help others with a joyful heart. Sometimes I think we forget about that. That's part of our Christian duty, is helping others. Matthew 25:40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So remember, when we're working with others and we're helping others, Jesus knows. Galatians 5:13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Liberty, a freedom to do. 1 Peter 4:10, it says that each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We all have gifts. We have different gifts. Sometimes we get tied up in that little box and we think we can't do any more. But if you step outside a little bit, you'll find you can develop another gift. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of manifold grace of God. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve. He walked on this earth to show us what to do. Why would we not want to serve? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. So together, we can find fulfillment in serving, recognizing that each moment we give to someone else is an investment in God's kingdom. If you look at it that way, it might be a little easier to help someone. You're investing in your future. You're investing in God's kingdom. Number 9, time and fellowship. I like fellowship. Most of you know I like to talk and visit. Fellowship plays a critical role in our walk of faith. And the Bible emphasizes the importance of spending time with one another. Engaging in a fellowship with other believers strengthens us. It'll create a supportive environment. The Bible verses that we're going to look at here remind us that investing in relationships is an important part, might even say essential part, of our journey. When we gather together, we share both joys and struggles, ultimately enriching our faith and understanding, not only of God's word, but of each other. We consider a congregation family. All congregations, parts of God's family. We struggle. But we also have joys. And we should be able to share in both. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Back to Hebrews 10:25. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. The directive to go to worship service. The directive to fellowship with one another. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Someone comes to you with a problem, work with them. Try to help them out. That's what we're here for. Proverbs 27:17. We have a class on this every other Saturday morning. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. I don't know if any of you have ever been around a farm or been around machine shops or sharpened iron, but it takes iron to sharpen iron, and when it's sharp, it's sharp. And if we use those same skills with one another, we'll all become a lot sharper in God's word. Philippians 1:3, Paul tells the church in Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So we look at this, together we can prioritize spending time in fellowship. We also can enjoy the blessings it brings. It's a great joy to me to be able to come to worship service and see everyone. The hugs, the smiles, the embraces, the worship service. It's a whole feeling. So some final thoughts. As we looked at these Bible verses about time, we learned the importance of valuing our days, recognizing God's timing in our lives. We focused on reflection, prayer, worship. We can better understand our relationship with God. We can better serve others. Understanding the various seasons of life encourages us to embrace change and trust God in circumstances we get in. We can prioritize our time wisely, fostering fellowship, lifting each other up in faith. Together, we can build a life that honors God, making the most of the time that he has given us. It's hard to do it on your own, but together we can form a bond that's strong. By taking action, we show commitment to God and shine a light in a world that often feels dark. Walk out these doors and get up tomorrow morning, it's not the same as sitting in here. Remember that the time we spend in prayer and meditation brings peace. It brings clarity. It guides our steps. And with what we've seen, we can strive to align our hearts and actions with God's purpose in our own lives. The question I have is, can we carry the lessons learned from these scriptures close to our hearts? Can we live out our faith with courage? Do we understand and know that our time on earth is precious and we can choose it, use it in a way that reflects our love for God and those around us? And we can trust that God guides us in every step of the way. Can we do those things? And then the final, what time is it? Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized. Mark 16:16 says, believe and be baptized. So what time is it? It's time to accept Christ. It's time to put him on in baptism. Now is the time. Why is it so strongly emphasized that now is the time? Because we're not promised the next minute. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised a year from now. Somebody once told me, he said, you want to hear God laugh? Tell him your plans for tomorrow. He might have a different idea. It's also, what time is it? It's time to repent. If we have sin in our lives and we're having a difficult time with it, you can't conquer it on your own. You need God's help. You may need our help as a congregation. You may need the fellowship and the bond that we have that can go to God in prayer on your behalf. So what time is it? It's time to get God back as a priority. With that, I'm going to ask Sam if he'll lead us in the song of invitation.